This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
All right, we are back here, episode number 4 of PTBN's Clotheslines and Headlines. We got JT, we got Steve, we got Nate, and we have two guests with us here because we're going to kick things off with some Ring of Honor talk. And of course, if we're talking ROH, that means we have to bring in the head cheese, the main dude, the Jack Tunney. Well, he's not really a figurehead, that's Scott. I guess the Vince McMahon of Place of Nation, that's Brad Woodling. Brad, how are you?
Justin, I'm doing great.
You sound like you're actually, like, just here for once on this new microphone.
I always sound great. It's just a little bit better than great now. So
yeah, Steve Willie still said you popping peas though.
I was listening to Jordan Duncan's Rankin File with the 16-bit video game countdown, and there's some definite peapod.
Yeah, yep. PlayStation Stop and Shop Peapod. Say it, Brad.
Anyway,
no pee in that
Peapod. Stop and Shop. Also with us is the voice of Ring of Honor and, of course, a dear friend of Place of Nation. I'd say staff member of Place of Nation. How about that? So I'm going to throw that out there right now. And that is, of course, the one and only Mr. Kevin Kelly. Kevin, how are you?
Very good. Very good. Happy summer, gentlemen. It's been too long.
It has been too long. Even since you blew us off in West Warwick, because you looked like the Phantom of the Opera in that.
Oh, God. I was so sick.
Yeah. You even blew off Adele's. You blew off Adele's. That's how I knew you were sick.
That was like the 24-hour flu bug that came and went just as fast, but it hit hard, and I was down for the count that night in West Warwick.
Passed up Boneheads and Dell, so that was a lot you passed up, and we're going to take care of you with that. Maybe next time.
Anyway, yes.
So many people can obviously attest to this witty repertoire we have going on right now that we that we have because we co-hosted the Kevin Kelly Show back in the day. It's been on a bit of a hiatus. Our last episode was back before WrestleMania. And then things changed for you, Kevin. Things got a little bit busy. You started going to Japan more. You got that Ribera Steakhouse jacket. You became big time, a little too big. And then other shit went down, and now here we are. So the fans have been clamoring on Twitter and on Facebook and around the world, wondering what's going on with the Kevin Kelly Show. So why don't you do us a favor? Talk about your new gig at Ring of Honor, because congratulations there. Talk about the future of the podcast, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, it was kind of a twofold thing. What started off as a short-term hiatus has now become, a permanent one for at least the time being, because around the time of the War of the Worlds tour, I had traveled to Japan, came back. We had a week of shows, all while doing a full-time job. And I was just at the point of, like, I just need a break, because I was done. I was toast. So figured a couple of weeks, maybe a month, we'll be good to go. But in the meantime, because I was kind of also raising my hand at Ring of Honor saying, listen, guys, there's some areas where I see, some opportunity, some need. And I would like to kind of consolidate down to one job. So if everything was to work out financially, is this something that we could discuss? And they were open to it. And, we got it to work out financially. So I was able to consolidate down to one job. But when that started, the workings of that started going in June and then starting the job in early July. And what I realized is that once I got started with this, is that part of my thing now is being full-time in Ring of Honor and being sort of in the office, for lack of a better word. I felt like it would be difficult for me to discuss other companies, and it would also be unfair of me to intentionally hold back things that I might know about Ring of Honor because of my position. So I just felt like because of the potential conflict of interest, you know, it's not fair for me to discuss other companies and other guys or whatever. If, you know, say a contract comes up and I, you know, we decide that we want to make a play for a free agent or something. I just didn't want to bring Sinclair or anything into, you know, any type of conflict of interest. So I figured at least now for this span of time, let me step away. Let me just focus on the job with Ring of Honor. Depending on how the position goes over time, if I feel like we're not in a conflict of interest situation, then I can step back in and we can pick up the podcast and we can do so accordingly. Plus, JR, you know, we've talked about maybe doing a couple of things like specifically with Ring of Honor in regards to Place to Be Nation. And that's still on the table. Part of the issue right now is that Ring of Honor and its website is still being redesigned. We're kind of waiting for that 2.0 version and already thinking about 3.0. That's still months away. So if that new website gets launched, we're going to need some content. And that might be where a Kevin Kelly podcast, you know, through our relationship with Place to Be Nation might come back into form, but it would just be strictly an ROH podcast. Kevin Kelly's show, as far as what we did for the 50 plus episodes that we did do, worked because we talked about everything. We talked about all companies. We were sort of irreverent. It was always a lot of fun. So if we just did a specialized ROH podcast, then that would be something that we could do on the new site.
No, I think that sums it up very well. And it was, you know, we've said it before, it was a great run. And we wanted to do this here tonight because so many shows just kind of end and just go away. And you never know what happened. You know, it could be wrestlers or other people just kind of doing a podcast one day and it just vanishes. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to have some closure and you know, because it was a great run. I thought we had a lot of good guests. We had a lot of good conversation. So, you know, so thank you for your dedication during times where you were very busy with a lot of travel and whatnot. You always made it easy to keep things running. So with that said, again, congrats on your new gig at Ring of Honor. Anything else you want to talk about in that realm before we move on to the product?
I don't know. I've got like I have this weird like has anybody ever had a job where they have a job title that you can't remember? That's the position that I'm in now. Like I'm not just Ring of Honor announcer. Like I have this, you know, kind of HR created job title, which doesn't really, I mean, I guess it kind of describes what I am, creative and operational logistics manager.
In a lot of cookie jars.
I do. And I have to actively think about that. Like if somebody says, well, what do you do? What's your job? Wait a second. Give me a minute. Creative and operational logistics manager. That's it. Got it.
So COLM.
So
COLM.
Yeah. Oh, an acronym.
There you go. ROH
Okay.
ROH has an HR department.
Does now.
Sinclair Broadcast Group has a HR department.
I guess so. That makes sense.
We got a pretty big parent company.
Yeah. Well, you didn't use an acronym. It's big,
big shiny office building, you know, glass doors, the whole bit. They've got it going on. There's a helicopter pad.
Jeez. It's like you're working for Ted Turner.
Brother. It's a company's no joke. They really have it going on. And, you know, just learning about the company more that owns Ring of Honor, you know, now in its fifth year. And it's like, man, this is great. Sinclair is like a really good success story. If anybody, you know, took time to look it up and did some research on it, you know, you'll see how prominent it is in the community and the things that they've done, the way it's grown over the years, pretty impressive stuff.
So obviously with the show going away, that doesn't mean if anyone is still interested in hearing the full archives, they're going to exist here at PlayStation.com, the entire run of the Kevin Kelly show. So if you're just listening to this show and you never heard it, the full archives are available. Brad, of course you're here. So do you want to tell us kind of what the future of that feed's going to be or what the, you know, where the archives are going to be housed?
Sure. So right now you can find the complete archive of the Kevin Kelly Show on iTunes and Google Play. And of course that, we have a Podbean site and PlaceToBeNation.com. If you go to PlaceToBeNation, you'll see, the great logo that we designed, over 2.5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And you can find all the individual episodes there. On the feed right now, we're going to slowly over the, like, probably say maybe once a month, maybe I'll pick it up, is we're going to be reproducing some of Kevin's interviews on the Place to Be podcast to go through his time in the WWF. You know, obviously they were incredibly successful in helping build not only the Place to Be podcast, but placetobenation.com and what turned into eventually being the Kevin Kelly Show. So we're going to kind of share those on that feed to hopefully a new audience to get people to still checking out the site. And yeah, so that archive is out there for everybody.
All right. So Steve, why don't we veer off now and talk about Ring of Honor itself, the product. We got the calm, the voice here of Ring of Honor. Might as well chat about it. So why don't you lead us there?
Well, I'm kind of intrigued as kind of a transition, Kevin, with your new responsibilities. Is there, you know, as you're developing the role, and are there any new particular responsibilities that you're looking forward to tackle, or any, you know, creative juices flowing? Like, what are you most excited about? Man,
good question. I've described it while I struggle through the job title. I kind of describe it as I'm the connective tissue that's now been put in place between a lot of different departments. So creative has an idea, but again, the creative team is basically one guy who gets advice and guidance and runs things through several of us, but none of those people, you know, were then looping production in to actually, how are we going to shoot this? And when are we going to schedule it? And what do we need to do? Like, one of our first conversations was Christopher Daniels was always struggling with the timekeeper and announce tables at ringside. So I said, okay, let's talk about that. He wanted it moved away from the ring, just felt for safety, for moving around the ring, et cetera, it'd be better if it was away. Where do we put it? How do we do it? So it seems simple, right? But it's really not, because you've got to look at, you know, cable drops and where it is in relation to the cameras, things like that. So while it may not seem like the most exciting thing in the world, I got the conversation going between Chris and his idea and the production director so that now we can get that table moved away from the ring so that it works not only you know, and it's more wrestler friendly around the ring area, but it also still works for production, not blocking any of the camera runs. They have to run cable. The camera people have to be able to move freely around the ring. The barricade has to be so many feet back from the ring. The barricade has to be square. You know what I mean? It's all of these different things. So I just help bridge that gap. There's just, you know, so whether it'll be, you know, like we're putting together a UK tour. So how are we doing all of these things? Not logistically, like, you know, setting up, putting up the ring, you know, booking the building, all that. But how are we getting the talent from here to there? And how are we advertising the show? What are we doing on the website? What are we doing social media wise? Let's look at all of these different things. And I've also kind of started like a rethink campaign where we sort of go department by department, and I talk to everybody and I just ask a bunch of questions. Tell me about your job. Tell me about what's worked, what hasn't worked. What are some ideas that you have?
So like
what are some
Bobs.
Action items that I can help you with?
So like the Bob.
Yes.
Okay.
Business process reviews. Smart stuff.
Yeah.
Got to be
and
more efficient.
Just taking a look at some of those things and really just, because again, been in wrestling now over 25 years, and I realized that I've learned a thing or two. I've had a lot of great people that I've worked under and for and with. So I'm stealing every good idea that I've ever heard and coming up with a couple of my own. And hopefully we can make everything in Ring of Honor work a lot better.
Excellent. And even adapting what you've learned too, to make it, you know, if we're talking about business catchphrases and terms, just you didn't steal, you adapted.
Yes, but this is just us talking, you know. I mean, we haven't rolled tape yet, so I'm just kind of telling you guys what the story is. But on the show, when we start, I'll definitely say adapted.
What's it like kind of, you know, coming up 19th, 20th, you have Death Before Dishonor weekend, and then the following weekend you have Field of Honor, which are some huge shows. Are you taking more of a role in those? And really with the new Japan talent coming in, the new Japan talent, as it were, like, what's it like planning those type of shows, considering the different pieces that you have? You have two offices, right? You also have not just the talent that you're familiar with, but the incoming talent as well. Like, what are the challenges that you've run into with that?
Well, you know, again, and just what are the challenges that, you know, departmentally they were dealing with already? And there are people, of course, you know, it wasn't just like nothing was getting done. But what if a lot of focus is having to be put on producing, and we have an extra pay-per-view on the calendar this year, which is a little, you know, different extra, that's coming up in September. And so there's a lot of moving pieces when you're talking about, you know, and the New Japan office is great. They're 14 hours ahead of us. And they're very organized and very understanding of us and, bend over backwards to help us and give us everything that we need. And then of course, you know, with the TV taping the very next day, 4 weeks of TV, how it all works with the TV schedule and where things are. And it's a lot of stuff that's just, it's very boring and it's very mundane, but it's all critically important. Because, you know, we're not completely tone deaf. You know, we know that there's people that have criticized the show for various reasons. You know, it's not as timely as it could be. We wish we could turn around new episodes faster. Well, I very quickly learned why it's 2 weeks before a new episode comes out. Because it's a hell of a lot of work to get, you know, everything shot and then put back in and then edited and then, you know, sent out for audio and then closed captioning and all of these different things. It takes a long time. There's a lot of stuff that we understand. Hey, these are things that we could do, but, you know, okay, how can we shorten those time windows? How can we make everything seem a little bit more, you know, day of, if we will, you know, as virtually live as we possibly can get. So we're taking steps to try to do things like that.
And I'd say there's definitely been a big turnaround in terms of the VOD after actual events, you know, like house shows. There's been a much quicker turnaround on those. But like you said, the TV and matching that up to the pay-per-view, which is matching up to shows that might be happening in Japan. It seems like a process. And there's really only one company that's doing that kind of live TV, and you know their pockets are going to be a little bit deeper than everyone else's.
And they've got, you know, but again, we are where we were as a company 5 years ago when Sinclair first purchased us, and where we are today. Again, the growth has been phenomenal, and every show and every opportunity gets even bigger. You know, we've got the first UK tour since 2007 that we're going to be running coming up in the month of November, the full slate of live events. We got, you know, big plans for Final Battle. We're already planning events for 2017, including a return to Japan in the month of February. So it's going to be very, very exciting for the fans over the next few months. There's no doubt about it.
Now, Kevin, you know, wrestling fans, as great as they can be, they can also tend to be negative at times, especially on social media. And, you know, when I engage with them, one of the things that I keep trying to reinforce is that this is a time to really be positive, because I think wrestling as a general state is probably healthier than it's been in about a decade, because there's so many options for you as a viewer, for the fan to go and pick out what they want. You know, if you don't like what one company's offering, there's other companies. So from the viewer standpoint, if I'm somebody new and I'm tired of kind of what I've been fed from some of the other promotions, what does ROH offer that might interest me?
Well, I think, and that's a great question, because I agree with you that for the fan, this is one of the best times ever, because of the number of choices that you do have. I grew up during the territory era in Florida, so I had the privilege and pleasure of not only watching championship wrestling from Florida, but also Georgia Championship Wrestling and Memphis and Bill Watts is UWF, and we got Madison Square Garden and Southwest and on and on and on. So what separates Ring of Honor is that we pride ourselves on the best wrestling, best pro wrestling on the planet, and the style that Ring of Honor is known for and has made our staple since the company's inception is now the most common style that you see. Mm-hmm. There is not a, you know, on these other variety of products. And again, the Ring of Honor style is a hybrid of, you know, Japan and Mexico and European wrestling, you know, the stars from England, the World of Sport era. It's taken from all of these different genres and has brought this presentation together. Whereas old Ring of Honor really was kind of like the all-star game. Let's put the best wrestlers available together on a show and match them up against one another and imagine how wonderful that will be. And it really was. Now it kind of blends some of the elements of an episodic television program with the best pro wrestling on the planet. The episodic nature of TV lends itself to a lot of talking and a lot of, you know, backstage skits, which we don't do. We allow the stories to be told in episodic fashion in the ring. So it really is, I think, the best blend on television of an episodic TV show and also great wrestling action.
Now, specifically coming up, you know, one thing that Brad, who is online with us and I have talked about over the last few weeks, is that these past few weeks of television leading up to Death Before Dishonor and Field of Honor have felt different. They felt more in that episodic genre. Like there's a story each week that's being told, especially in the main event picture, where there's a story being developed. With this coming weekend, like, is there, you know, any of the matches, like any of the, like the, in terms of like the main event or with some of the stars coming in that you're looking forward to calling, that you're looking forward to see where the story goes?
Well, in terms of at Death Before Dishonor?
Yeah. As you know, I'm kind of lumping in Death Before Dishonor, the TV tapings and Field of Honor. It's a really compact 8 days of big shows for you guys.
Yeah.
Kind of similar
really
to
is.
The May shows.
There is a, well, of course, you know, the main event of Death Before Dishonor is a match that a few weeks ago, television viewers said, well, this won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we found out within a couple of weeks on television and we went ahead and announced it because, you know, fans on the website aren't necessarily viewers on TV, that, you know, hey, Adam Cole is now getting the world title shot against Jay Lethal. Oh, that would be after Cole had joined Bullet Club back in May, and he and the Young Bucks not only ruined Kyle O'Reilly's opportunity for the world title, oh, they first screwed Colt Cabana out of the world title, mm-hmm. ruined Kyle O'Reilly, and then shaved Jay Lethal's head. So, I mean, this is a group that is just such a paradox because they're wildly popular. We sell more Young Bucks and Bullet Club t-shirts than anyone else. And I think I don't know this to be true, but I would venture to say all the other shirts, probably except the Briscoes, you add those all together and they probably don't equal the number of shirts that are sold for Bullet Club and the Young Bucks. It's just crazy. So they're incredible draws and the fans, they cheer for them wildly, but at the same time, they do whatever they want. They show no respect for Ring of Honor. And in years gone by, that would have found them incurring the wrath of the Ring of Honor fans because they really just kind of disrespect what ROH is all about. But so it's interesting. I find it very interesting. And I find myself supporting them because they're tremendous athletes and you can't hate on them because – you know, you disagree with their point of view, you have to appreciate, you know, what they are. But at the same time, you've got to criticize them. And Adam Cole has been just a transformation with him. But I've been so impressed with Jay Lethal. how he has transformed. The guy who was, you know, almost defiant as world champion, like there isn't anybody in my league, now found himself in a situation a couple of weeks ago on television with Kyle O'Reilly where he felt pity for another athlete. And while he beat Kyle O'Reilly and did what he had to do to win, he wasn't happy about it. So we've seen this maturation that has come with Jay Lethal as he's now surpassed 400 continuous days as Ring of Honor world champion. And he's really entering into rarefied air. He's the fourth longest reigning champion in Ring of Honor history. And if he gets past, if he makes it the final battle, he'll be, I think he will have, he definitely will have passed Bryan Danielson. He'll be getting close to Nigel McGuinness. He'll still have some work to do to catch and pass Samoa Joe. But when you look at those three names, they're first ballot Ring of Honor Hall of Famers in the mythical Hall of Fame. Jay Lethal is their equal in 2016. Mm-hmm. So it's really been great. And when you talk about the one guy that I think everybody is anticipating quietly from New Japan, possibly because we haven't seen him before, but because he's kind of an enigma, is Shibata.
Right.
He makes his Ring of Honor debut at Death Before Dishonor. He's going to be a Field of Honor wrestling the returning Kyle O'Reilly. Oh, yeah, Kyle, out with a shoulder injury. Guess what? Your first match is back. Your first match back is against Shibata. Holy crap. It's going to be amazing. And that main event at Field of Honor ties right into Death Before Dishonor. Because no matter who wins, Adam Cole or Jay Lethal, they're going to have to turn right around 8 days later, defend that world title in a four-corner survival match against the man they would have just beaten. So it's Adam Cole, Jay Lethal, Tetsuya Naito, the former IWGP heavyweight champion, and, oh yeah, just the ace of New Japan, seven-time former IWGP heavyweight champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi. So it's one fall to a finish, and it's just going to be mind-blowing.
And it's such a unique arena, too.
Yeah, no other setting. I'm fingers crossed. We had the best weather last year. JR, you were there for that, and it was – I mean, what a beautiful night, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. Steve was there too.
oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Talked,
but yeah, it was an awesome.
Don't get
an awesome upset
with me.
No one's upset. I'm just trying to make you feel better. It was no, it was an awesome.
Brad, here's what I'm going to ask for. I'm going to ask that Place to Be Nation staff members wear name tags.
Oh, well, we're coming up with like lanyards. You know, so it's nice and
or
clear
lanyard.
For you. So we scream your name and you look over, you can pick out like,
yeah,
oh, that's, you know, I've been the Steve Willie of this, you know, screaming at Kevin. So,
I'm terrible with names. Like, I don't even remember my own two sons' names. Like one of them whose name escapes me. He turns 21 tomorrow. I'm very excited for him.
Oh my goodness.
And the little one who I'll just refer to as the little one. He's nine. And if my wife was here, she'd probably be able to tell me their names. Stink at names, boys. I'm sorry.
Kevin, I've called my son by my cat's name before, so I hear it's the age.
Yeah, definitely is the age.
Okay, Kevin, real quick, you mentioned Jay Lethal, and this is a subject that I talk about a lot of times when I'm on various shows as a black wrestling fan. And one of the things I really dig about Ring of Honor in general and Jay Lethal in particular is you've got this diverse palette of characters. And it's really refreshing to see a black world champion that does not fall into the stereotypical tropes we often find in wrestling. And you talk about the maturity of Jay Lethal and how he's just improved leaps and bounds as a worker for a guy who's still fairly young. What has been your impression of watching this young man over the years?
Well, when he came back to Ring of Honor, he was 26. And so now he's right around 30, maybe just north of 30. He came back after establishing an identity of doing impressions of other people, but he came back to Ring of Honor wanting to establish his own identity. We knew he had a high ceiling. We could not have imagined that his ceiling would be this high, and he's only getting better. So he was kind of like, you know, he's kind of like that feel in the draft that you get in the late rounds and over time just develops to become an MVP. And, you know, of all time might go down in history as the greatest champion in Ring of Honor history. Time in history will tell. But I'm proud of him. I am proud of who he is. He is a leader. He never says no. When it comes to press, when it comes to autographs, when it comes to whatever, and or when it comes to pulling a younger member of the roster aside and giving critiques based upon his opinion after having watched their match, you know, and doesn't have to, but wants to, and does so in a respectful fashion, and, you know, is encouraging, views himself as a true locker room leader, and lives by leads by example, and certainly is it's just been great to see. It's wonderful.
All right, I think you stunned everyone silent, Kevin.
What?
That was a great dramatic pause right there.
Well, it was very dramatic. Everyone,
we'll cut that.
Well, I shut up and I waited for somebody else to talk.
I think we were all soaking it in. It was such a well-spoken soliloquy.
I'll speak to it real quick. Jay Lethal is my favorite Kevin Kelly Show guest ever, and I encourage everyone. We also put it up on YouTube if you want to listen to the interview. You can find it through our YouTube channel.
He's the man. Jer, who is your favorite Kevin Kelly Show guest?
I think there's no doubt. It's the man that we pulled off the trampoline just for that one special.
Yeah.
The elusive Dennis Stamp. We had Dennis fucking Stamp on the podcast.
Before Cole Cabana did, too.
Yeah, right. Screw that guy.
Well, hey, I think we put him on the map, put him back on the map.
We did. We got him relevant.
And it was did you talk to him or did I talk to him beforehand? I think, or
you did.
Did both of us?
No, you did.
Okay. I wish you guys could have heard the phone conversation, because all it was, hey, Dennis, this is Kevin. I want to thank you for responding to the email. Just kind of wanted to talk with you briefly, make sure you're still interested in doing the show. And I got all of the elements of the interview right then and there. And I kept saying, we'll just talk about it on the show. You know, how about if I read you a poem? I mean, no lie. The same guy that was not an act on the show, fellas, mm-mm, because it was just he and I talking. And
off
he
air,
was.
Off air, after he hung up, he read like five more poems. Remember, he kept going?
Yeah, that was. Are you guys having that? What's your name? Cameron. That's it. Thank you. My youngest came up and reminded me of his name. Thank you very much. Go ahead. Take them downstairs. Do what you're doing. He's having a sleepover, so he's getting refreshments.
It's funny because we're having one too. Me, Steve, Nate, we're in the same room right now. We're all
good.
Sleeping bags.
Oh, sleeping.
The Stamp was
anyway,
great.
Yeah. So yeah, he was incredible. And it was great. I always loved when we had Dr. Tom on, because he always kind of level set you, mm-hmm, you know. That was good. And just he and I have been friends for so long, you know, it's kind of like the act that we do on the phone when we're just talking to each other. We just brought it to the show.
Underrated was a coked up out of his mind Brian Blair.
That's when I was thinking.
Wow. He's a political figure, is he not? I mean, he's held political office.
Yeah, he was out of his mind night, though, with the Hazel's honey and all that stuff. That was
he was shot out of a cannon. I don't know what was going on. Oh, it'll be Brian Blair. And the one I was worried about, but really turned out to be like a cool interview, was Dan Spivey.
Yes.
I thought, I was like, ooh, I'm not so sure about this guy, but Spivey's wife, and fans go back and listen to the interview. You'll hear a guy that's really honest. We got a lot of great honesty out of everybody, which I thought was cool. Mm-hmm. We got a real honest guy telling his story, which was really personal, and how he's working with his generation of athletes, so retired wrestlers, when they get beyond the ring, and also when they are done with rehab. So if you get out of drug rehabilitation, and not just wrestlers too, but others as well. And so he really told that story, but his wife worked with me in the WWF office. In fact, that's where they met. And so now they're married, and she's written a book and doing all kinds of stuff, really, and just trying to help people. So it was just cool being able to talk to Spivey, who I wasn't sure what we were going to get. And it just wound up being this really just rich, this deep story that had all kinds of just layers to it. Could have gone on for much longer than we did.
Of course, don't forget, we had AJ Styles before he got relevant again.
I'll remind him of that when he's, making his WWE Hall of Fame speech. So.
Right. Remember where he was when he quit TNA and was a man lost. We brought him in.
Yeah.
Relaunched his career.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us. It was great as always. We appreciate it very much. We hope to have you back here since you're not doing your own show. We can have you on Clotheslines and Headlines to talk Ring of Honor every couple months or so. And before you know it, you'll be narrating our Christmas special yet again in December. That is part of your eternal contract that automatically rolls over every year. You can't get out of that one.
Don't tell Brad. Turn down his earphones. I would do that for free.
There you go. See?
That's the most fun I have. All right, you can turn his head. You can turn his headset back up.
Never doing that again.
Yes. He, Kevin loves it. It's his favorite thing. All right, that's it. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk some Raw, some SmackDown, some SummerSlam, and still to come, of course, Brad Stutz and Chad Campbell talking Scenic City Invitational. Steve's going to go talk to his son, Ruggles the Cat. We'll be back after this break. Take care. Not take care. Stand by. Pick up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
But by the way, speaking of food and Bush,
I think Chris Jericho is who Michael Hayes would like to be.
Always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox.
Then people would be more inclined to buy the network and watch the shows.
I'd buy the network.
I do not know where Steve Austin is. He saw the gun. He saw the gun and he left. Oh, my God, he's gone.
I would never talk about this. I mean, unless I killed somebody, I don't know.
All right, here we go. So I got a piss. Be right back. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.